listening to Healthy Living on Sydney's 2GB 873.
Great to be with you, Ned Green, alongside Dr. Ross Walker.
Regular listeners to this show are well aware of the power of the gut microbiome. The more diverse species you have in your gut, the better it is for your health. Well, now, an international team led by the Hudson Institute of Medical Research has found a way to determine which species are important and how they interact to create a healthy microbiome. So, of course, you can understand I'm pretty excited about this. Associate Professor Samuel Foster and his team at the Hudson Institute of Medical Research in Melbourne are the ones behind this extremely exciting research, and I'm delighted to say it is on the line. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening.
Now, Sam, this is very exciting research, so tell me all about it, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously exciting to be talking to you. The main thing we know right now is that the microbiome is associated with a huge number of diseases. And for many years, my team and I have been working on not just understanding the associations, but understanding the individual bacteria and how they can interact with each other. And then that can either lead to health or disease, obviously. And with this work, what we've been able to do is we've been able to take the bacterial genome. So just like people, each bacterial species has its own genome. And we can read these genomes and understand what role they can play within the community. So some of them will be friends, they'll work together. Others will interact in a less favorable way, so they might compete for resources. And some really just don't care about each other. But by taking all of this information, we can start to understand particular community compositions and then identify how, by changing those community compositions, we can actually improve health outcomes.
And what we've been speak a lot on the show about the diversity of the gut microbiome. Why is that good to have a diverse gut microbiome?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always we have to remember that diversity gives us more options. So in the microbiome, for example, there's different functions that it provides for us. And the more different species you have in there, the more chance that those functions will be available. It's not always a case for everyone that a particular microbiome community structure is going to be best, but what we at least know is the more functions you have, the more likely you'll be able to, or the microbiome rather, will be able to help you in a particular circumstance.
So for people listening to this, they say, well, okay, we hear a lot about the gut microbiome, but what on earth can we do to keep it healthy? So can you give us a few good tips?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have, you know, we have a focus on pathogens most of the time. We think, you know, we go out for a meal, we feel sick the next day, we blame the meal and being exposed to the pathogens. But actually, every day we're being exposed to health-associated bacteria, so the bacteria that make up our microbiome. So that can be through our diet, it can be through interactions with the environment. But what we really want to be doing is exposing ourselves to as many of these microbes as possible, and then they will naturally colonize us. We touch a surface, they'll colonize us. We interact with someone, we'll pass them between each other. And so it's all about collecting as many of these different microbes as you can, and then ecology will play its role. So some of those will be able to colonize our guts, and others will just pass through as it's naturally intended to do.
Well, we've seen now with this COVID pandemic over the last few years, everyone going nuts with these hand sanitizers. So you're sort of suggesting that it doesn't hurt to have a bit of passing of bacteria and viruses over the time.
Well, I think it's something that we surprisingly know very little about. Obviously, pathogens can be hugely detrimental, as we've seen. There's been a sensible focus on killing off the bacteria. But we have to remember the vast majority of bacteria that we actually encounter, you know, we're each carrying hundreds, if not thousands, of species on our bodies every day.
Yeah.
And so we have to remember that keeping them alive and keeping them spreading within the community is actually also important. And certainly not to say we want to allow pathogens to spread, but we can be a bit more careful in terms of making sure we are exposing ourselves to some of these health-associated bacteria and getting the beneficial effects.
So can you explain how either good bacteria can help or bad bacteria can hurt in regard to systemic conditions, not just conditions within the gut?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to be very careful when we're saying good bacteria and bad bacteria. as well, because for any individual, a certain species may be beneficial or may be detrimental, and, sure, and indeed at different stages of your life, different species might be beneficial. But the key thing to remember is for all of us, we have our gastrointestinal tract, and we have roughly 2 square meters of space there where we have bacteria and other microbes directly interfacing or directly interacting with our immune system. Mm. So there's a huge opportunity for any of these signals that are coming from the microbiome to be received by the immune system and then spread right throughout the body. So you can get all sorts of conditions associated with inflammation where changing the microbiome or modifying the microbiome may be either beneficial or detrimental.
So give an example. What sort of diseases are we thinking about here?
It really is very broad. So you obviously have the local inflammation, things like inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease, etc. But you also have systemic inflammation, so things like arthritis have been linked, even some brain associated conditions, so multiple sclerosis, for example. It is really any condition where the immune system is involved. This is what the gut is actually one of the major sites of immune microbe interaction from a beneficial microbe perspective.
Mm, and there's all the stuff with Parkinson's disease and alpha-synuclein in the recent work out of one of the labs in Europe showing this bacteria, I think it's Desulfovibrio, being associated with alpha-synuclein.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of link, and that's quite an interesting one in the sense of the links of what these bacteria are actually doing in the gut. So we know, and some of the work that we're talking about today in Crohn's disease is around hydrogen sulfide production, and there's a link in that as well, in the sense of the immune interaction that's occurring, inducing, so recruiting in the immune cells and allowing that interaction to occur.
Mm. So when you hear the term hydrogen sulfide, you think, oh, this might be very bad for you, but you're suggesting there's a beneficial role for bacteria secreting hydrogen sulfide and reducing Crohn's disease?
No, not quite. So what we've historically thought is that this excess hydrogen sulfide was somehow occurring from the community changing. But what the work that we've actually done has identified is it's not that the amount of hydrogen sulfide being produced is changing. What's actually happening is some of the species that would usually be consuming the hydrogen sulfide, so using it up, are actually being lost from the community, and therefore the net effect is more hydrogen sulfide, but actually the production rate is staying the same.
And is there any particular type of bacterial species that would be doing that or not doing that?
Yeah, so there's a whole range of species within the community. The species that we're losing are quite broad, but there's things like Roseburia intestinalis, there's Prevotella coprii, there's a quite a long list, blouches, and other things that are key, and we know they're associated with health. We've seen them coming up in these broad scale association studies. But what we've really been able to do here is understand why they might be associated with health, rather than just saying there's an association without getting to that mechanistic understanding.
But it's not just as simple as say putting these bacteria in a probiotic and saying, well, that'll solve the problem.
No, I mean, I think we have to remember that all of these species exist in a community. It would be like taking one species and dumping it in the middle of the desert and expecting a rainforest to suddenly grow. Yeah, yeah. We have to consider them as a community, and we have to build the community structures that they need to exist. And that's what this modelling really allows us to do.
Yeah, it's really exciting work. So what's the next step in your research?